Herman's Hermits, 1964. The song, of course, I'm Into Something Good. Joining me in the studio is David Piccini. And hey, he's into something good, isn't he? I mean, just been elected. Yeah, let's give it up for him. We got the best audience on radio, David.
I love it.
Now, I didn't realize this, but I got a tweet earlier in the weekend. There are 13, actually, I think maybe it's 16, millennials having been elected to the Queen's Park. We know that young fellow from Niagara. I can't remember his name. I want to say Oosterhoff, but that's
Sam Oosterhoff. Yeah,
is it Oosterhoff?
Yeah,
it is Oosterhoff. So he's still the youngest MPP, I guess.
Still is.
But you are part of that cadre of millennials that were elected.
We've I'm part of the 13. One of the sage older older.
One of the older millennials.
Older in the bunch. Yeah. Yes.
So that is something. Again, you know, we've handed the keys to Queen's Park over to a cadre of millennials, and you know, what was it? Charlton Heston used to say, from my cold, dead hands. Yeah. There you go.
Well, I think there's something to be said. It's certainly about the makeup. I mean, we have such a diverse group from a wide walk of backgrounds. 13 millennials, of course, in the PC ranks. We have more women than we've ever elected. So
okay, so I think that number that I got with regards to millennials wasn't just... Mm-hmm. PCs, because that included a couple of NDPers, young woman and a young man, and I was going to say liberals, but no, it did.
Yeah, there's, I think, 47 at least, 40 or 80 something. I think 40 or 80 new MPs.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about the 30 or younger, the millennial
the
group.
13
so.
Millennials.
So it was, anyway, good stuff. I'm just so happy, because again, you know, one of the things you hear all the time, David, is young people, they're just not engaged politically. Mm-hmm. They're not engaged. Well, you are.
Yes, and interesting fact for our riding, 67% voter turnout, the highest voter turnout in the province.
Is that right?
Right here in Northumberland, Peterborough South.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you got just under 46% of that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we had the highest record number of votes for any provincial candidate in Northumberland's history.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. So anyone out there, it's funny because Ben Bird and I talked about this last Monday about how, you know, there's at least 2,000 people in this riding that were not happy with the Liberals. And clearly that was the case because I think you beat Lou's number by close to 2,000.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he got, what he garnered last time around, he got 25 and change.
Yeah, 23, I believe, and we got 27 this time.
Okay, Okay. So anyway,
it's an engaged electorate, which is good to see.
And we have a lot to be proud of in this riding.
Yes.
You know, not just for the candidates, but the engagement, the voter turnout, obviously, as you said. Mm-hmm. Was it 67%?
67%.
That's incredible. Yeah. And you got 45 point something, almost 46%
of that.
Now, out of seven candidates, you know, because, I mean, obviously you hear the same stuff I hear all the time. Well, it's not a majority. You didn't get the majority of votes. Mm-hmm. Seven candidates, you got 45%. I'm just going to say 46. Forget about this 45 stuff. You're so close to 46, you might as well say 46. You know, how do you respond? I mean, I personally, if it were me, I would say, you know what? Seven candidates, I got 46%. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty clear majority. I mean, out of seven possible options, right?
Oh, yeah. And I would say, as you said, I think it was a few days ago, this province is a bunch of mini elections. And
124
mini elections, and ours was fought here. We had a very high voter turnout. We ran an excellent get out the vote on election day. We'd done very well in advance polls. I have yet to see the final figures, but I think over 20% of our identified supporters came out in advance polls for us. So we ran, and that was double the the number of others undecideds in our riding.
Well,
so
this is the other thing, too. And again, we're talking about setting numbers. I mean, we were the sixth most votes cast in the advanced polls, six in the province.
Six.
So the fact that we are number six there, I mean, say what you will, listeners, but we are politically engaged. It's not a riding that is asleep by any stretch of the
imagination. And we saw that at the doors. Very engaged electorate. We had a number of debates in the riding, and from all corners, a very, very engaged electorate. Mm-hmm. So I was humbled to receive the support of our community, and it's I know it's big shoes to fill, and I have a lot of respect for our outgoing MPP, you know, Lou, who served our community with dignity and has done an excellent job. And I know I've got big shoes to fill, and I've got to get to work. So,
well, you know, one of the neat things that we talked about, and I actually was singing your praises last week about this, because one of the things that I found particularly interesting about our riding as opposed to some of the other ridings out there is we've had active members of provincial parliament. I mean, you've seen other ridings where the guy shows up or the woman shows up to cut a ribbon, or maybe they're at this, you know, this unveiling or that unveiling. But we've had members of provincial parliament now, I mean, even Doug Gault, Lou Rinaldi, before them, even before mm-hmm. them, who've been very active in ensuring that what happens out here is important, not just to the people out here, but also important at Queen's Park. You know, mm-hmm. I talked about Lou's endless work and Doug Gault's endless work as well, convincing, you know, the urban members that out here we have things like homelessness and poverty and people struggling. You know, so many urban members of parliament, well, that's the homelessness. That's not a rural thing.
It is.
That
yeah.
doesn't happen. But we know it's real here. Mm-hmm. And you know it as well, having been around the riding and talked to people. And so the one thing, again, I was singing your praises. I was saying to people, look, we didn't just elect another guy who's going to cut ribbons and kiss babies. We've all elected somebody who I know, because I've spoken to you about this, is ready to be an advocate on behalf of Northumberland, mm-hmm. Peterborough South.
Yeah, the first event, I was very honored that the first public event I did was the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes for mm-hmm. Cornerstone. Of course, ending family and gender-based violence is critical. We have that. That's real in our community. Many people think of more of it, but that's very real here. The homelessness issue. I've actually spoken with a number of homeless youth in of course, our offices on King Street there. Mm-hmm. And I had two come into our office, and I spoke to them. And it's very, you know, it's a real conversation, and it's emotional chatting.
It's alarming too, though, isn't it? I mean, when you get to hear those stories,
it is. And so, I don't have all the answers, but in our platform, and I've got some ideas we'd like to bring to Queen's Park. And you know, I would say in the debates, listening to the other candidates, there's a lot of good ideas. We ran a very, very good campaign. All candidates, and I have a lot of respect for them. And there was good ideas. We debated the ideas. It didn't get ugly, you know, mm-hmm. as people, I think, are cynical of politicians these days. But we ran a very clean campaign across the board yep. with all of our candidates, and some good ideas were discussed. So,
well, as you have been quoted as saying, you know, good ideas aren't partisan, right?
Yeah, there's no monopoly in a good idea. Yeah.
It's not a partisan issue. It's mm-hmm. it's about doing what's best public policy, the best public policy we can bring on behalf of anyone. And again, I'm not mm-hmm. speaking out of turn here. I mean, these are things you and I have talked about
yes.
on this very program. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of our conversation with David Piccini. By the way, big shout out for Max. He brought Max in with him. And
Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever.
What's that?
For all the dog owners, a Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever.
There you go.
My dog, Max. Yeah.
Max is here, and we may hear from him. I don't know. But yeah. I might have to get David to poke him with something. We'll be right back, listeners.
I'm Laurie Stevenson, and you should be listening to The Search. What excites me is when magic happens in music. Sometimes it's live in concert, sometimes it's a carefully crafted concept album, and most especially, it's local music. Listen to what's exciting me right now on The Search, Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own All Creatures Great and Small,
your natural pet care specialists.
We have to tell you about a product we introduced a year ago.
CBD oil. Our clients are telling us it has changed their lives.
Arthritis, insomnia, anxiety, chronic pain.
These are just some of the issues that people and pets are addressing.
It's safe, effective, Canadian made.
And there's no THC, so you don't need a prescription.
All Creatures Great and Small. We're your local source for quality CBD. 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
As my life turns a corner, I reach for expansion, wanting new things for myself, craving the genuine, the edgy, and the people and experiences that can meet me there. Needing to spread my arms wide and embrace life with newness and a brave heart.
And that's why I choose to drive the open road in a Mazda.
Feel alive.
It's politics with passion and more. It's The Drive Time with Dave Glover on Northumberland 89.7.
All righty, welcome back. My guest in the studio is David Piccini. Now, we've been talking about our voter turnout here, and again, we got nothing to be ashamed of. And every year, like, I've been doing the behind the ballot for TV Kojiko, your TV now, for a number of elections. And every year, the voter turnout gets higher and higher and higher. We're not at 100% yet, but we're at 67%, which is, seriously, that's, as you said, the highest voter turnout in the province. Mm-hmm. So we must be doing something right. And I think a lot of that has to do with engagement. You know, I spoke to Jana Papakoski about this when we spoke on election night and asked her, you know, does that mean the NDP is just going to disappear now for the next 4 years? And she said, well, no, obviously we're going to try and keep active and what have you. But, you know, one of the things that I think helped you win this riding was the fact that you were out there door knocking. You went out even before the writ was dropped. From the time you got the nomination as your party's candidate, you were out there. You were in the riding. You were introducing yourself to the constituents. I mean, my wife ran into you door knocking in our neighborhood. This was at least a month before the writ was dropped.
Oh, yeah, a month or two.
Let's talk about that strategy, because I think a lot of what people forget, you know, my listeners will say, even I've had listeners say to me, well, you're a political guy, Dave. You pay attention all the time. Some people don't bother. I was talking to Kevin before you got here about how some people thought the writ period was too long at 28 days. I mean, come on, if you can't be engaged for a month, what's it take? So, I mean, I got to give you the kudos, man. I mean, you were out there.
Yeah, we have an app on our phone that tracks the number of doors we knocked. I did over 10,000, and I've got a couple others who are close on our campaign. And it was a commitment I made in the nomination, is that if you're serious about representing this community, you've got to get out. And it is a new community encompassing Clarington now, Orono, Newcastle, but also Otonabee, South Monaghan. And most of the people up there have said, hey, we've never seen someone drive down. In some cases, it's a long run or drive down their driveway just to get to their door. And for those who, you know, single parents who are the primary caregivers, it's tough to get out. When you get home, you've had a long day, you've worked one, two jobs. It's tough to get out and make an hour drive down to Coburg for one of the debates.
That's right.
You got to get out to their doors. And we made a commitment. We did it. And I think that's in today's day and age, with all the social media and everything, still nothing replaces a good contact at their door, and people feel comfortable on their doorstep to talk politics.
Well, and I think that's where people feel the most comfortable is at their doorstep, because they can, you know, when they're done, they can just shut the door.
Yes, or in some cases, if they don't want to talk, they can slam it in your
face. Yeah, well, and trust me, I've had that happen. Yeah. I remember going around trying, because, you know, when I ran federally, it was about, you know, you have to get so many signatures on a form from people who live in your riding so you can put your name on the ballot.
Yes.
I know you went through a similar process. And I remember people saying to me, no, I'm not going to sign it. And I'm like, well, this is just so I can get my name on the ballot. And people looking at me going, yeah, I don't want you to put your name on the ballot. I don't want to support you. I don't want to support your initiative to get on the ballot. And I think part of that is because if there's too much choice, the vote gets watered down. Again, this goes to that idea of getting a majority vote. I mean, we're already hearing the narrative now with regards to Doug Ford. Oh, well, he didn't win the popular vote. I mean, come on. We don't have a popular vote in this province.
But he did win. He won the popular vote.
Yeah.
He did win the popular vote. What people are saying is that it wasn't 50% plus.
Yeah.
It was in the 40s. I mean, I think under this system, the PCs won with, I think, one of the strongest majorities we've ever won in this province. It's one of the strongest majority governments ever. And so I think a clear message was sent in this last election, a clear message. And I would suggest for any naysayers or anyone, and I've seen them too, is if you feel strongly, get out and get involved, and less time behind the computer and more time at the doors with your chosen candidate.
Well, you're already seeing it. You know, people questioning what Ontario is going to look like under Doug Ford. What's a Doug Ford Ontario going to look like? One of the things I said to Kathleen Wynne when I had her on the phone a couple of times was, you know, my biggest disappointment with any government is that they allow the opposition to create a narrative. All right. They create an image, whether it's true or not, is generally not even based on reality. A lot of it's based on feelings, how people feel. And one of the things I said during the election night was, you know, we may have the strongest growth in the G7. We may have the lowest unemployment. We may have the lowest corporate taxes in terms of small business. I mean, just 3.5% at this point. But the people aren't feeling that. And that's really what it comes down to. There are people that are doing just fine, thank you very much. But there's a huge swath of people in this province, and you've met them, the homeless youth, the underemployed, the people working two and three jobs. There's a huge number of people in this province that feel as though they've been left behind. And how do you get them to pick up the message the Conservatives are putting down?
Well, I think many of them support our messaging and have supported our party. I think one of the reasons we had such a high voter turnout was we've seen, and our data since the election has shown this, a lot of people who you can track, Elections Ontario shows you their voter, what we call voter history, if they voted. And in fact, some of our percentages, I was really pleased to see what really makes it as a candidate who gives up a year, year and a half campaigning, is to see the number of people who haven't voted before casting their ballots. And then we try and analyze what percentage of those we got, and we got a good percentage. And so a lot of the people, I think it starts with affordable housing, big issue for us, the investment, the $1.9 billion we invested in our platform, ensuring that that comes to our riding. I think a lot was made in the election of, well, we're bringing money, I will bring the money. I'd really like people to I'd really like to rephrase this narrative and reconsider. I'm not bringing money. This is your taxpayer dollars hard at work. And it's about advocating to ensure that your tax dollars are put to work, and that people who say, well, why should I do this? I mean, it is in our best interest to pay taxes, and that those taxes go towards looking after the most vulnerable, ensuring there's essential services. But also we won on the message of getting governments off people's back, putting a little more money in your pockets, and tackling some of the systemic mismanagement in Hydro One. And I mean, as Doug has said, and as I've long said, we don't have a revenue problem in government. We have a spending problem.
Yeah, see, I don't agree with that narrative, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out over the next 4 years, because I do believe we have a revenue problem. We are spending money on programs. We're spending more money on healthcare than we're bringing in. We're spending way more money on things that, frankly, we need. Okay. I don't know that we
healthcare,
have a
problem. I would agree with you. We need to
I would suggest the one thing the province should do, and again, this is my advice to Doug Ford, would be increase the PST by 1%. And keep the cap and trade. The cap and trade that drives almost $8.7 billion a year, which is money that goes to the province, not to the federal government, not to big business, but directly to the province for things like infrastructure and transit. I mean, I personally think that that's the route to take. I hope that, you know, when Doug Ford has the audit done, and I know there's going to be a forensic audit, that that we come to the realization that, yes, you know what? Because, again, a 1% increase in PST is a tax that would affect everybody. So it's not like you're cherry picking what group gets to pay more. It's 1%. A lot of people say, well, that's 1 cent. That's a lot of money. But the reality is that's going to drive millions of dollars to the provincial coffers. It's going to help cover things like the mental health expense that you want to increase. You want to increase funding for social housing. I do believe, and I think once the forensic audit's done, I think even the progressive conservatives will have to agree that we do have a revenue problem in this province. We have seen tax cuts. We have seen transfers to small business. We have seen the gas tax transfer. We have seen cuts to corporate taxes. We have seen lots of cuts, but we haven't actually seen anywhere where we can generate new revenue.
Well, I think it's going to be, I can't predict yet what it's going to look like. I do agree that this audit is long overdue to get a real picture. I mean, we have to know where we're starting from to know where we're going, to talk about, as you said, the vital services we need to support. I do think it's going to be difficult over the coming years, because I foresee the debt being far larger than foreseen, and the deficit that we're running will be closer to $15 billion, not the $6 so I look forward to seeing the audit. As we've said, we've committed to making it public so that the public will see it. I mean, we've really got to be transparent and open with the public. That's what we've been elected on. And I look forward. I just got our package today, and our first caucus meeting is next week. I mean, we're wasting no time. We're getting right to work.
Absolutely. Well, it's the 29th of June. You're officially sworn in.
Sworn in, yes.
Now, is government going to sit immediately after that, or is that when summer recess will begin? Because typically summer recess starts really at the end of May, right?
It's true. It's already started. So I can't speculate as to what we're going to do. I imagine we'll discuss that at our first caucus meeting next week. There's also a lot of, you know, the advantage of having an election right in the middle, or right at the beginning, I should say, beginning quarter of summer recess, is you have time to set up your office. I mean, we've got office to set up. We've got, you know, a number of new MPPs. The political landscape in Ontario has been redrawn quite significantly with the number of NDP seats and PC seats, you know, traditionally where you haven't had support before. And so there's a lot of new faces, and there's going to be a big onboarding session. I know next week I'm heading in for one, and just get the lay of the land, find out where everything is.
Well, we're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to have a quick wrap-up here with David Pacini. I want to thank you for coming in, by the way, and I'll probably thank you again as the hour winds its way down. But we'll be right back, listeners.
Northumberland 89.7 is excited to announce that we have a great new way to connect to truly local radio wherever you go. Along with other Canadian community broadcasters from coast to coast to coast, Northumberland 89.7 is part of an innovative collaboration with Radio Player Canada that gives listeners Canada's most powerful radio content in one place, when and where you want it. Just download the Radio Player Canada app for free in the iTunes or Google App Store, search for Northumberland 89.7, and you are ready to listen to your truly local radio station wherever you are.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own Spark Toys in downtown Cobourg.
The coolest little toy shop in town.
Grandparents are telling us how much they love Spark.
Aunts and uncles, too.
Spark makes shopping for kids of all ages fun and easy.
With unique, quality toys that you can't find just anywhere.
And that mums and dads will appreciate and kids will love.
For super busy grandparents, we can have your gifts wrapped and ready to go.
Just call us. We're happy to help.
Spark. Smart toys for cool kids. 7 days a week in downtown Cobourg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
Hello. My name is Dan Bolger of Realty Executives Pentel. My family has lived in Northumberland County since the 1860s, and over those years, we have seen this area change. I have lived here, and I know this land, and I know its people. I can help you buy or sell your property and take away all the stress and worry while providing full real estate services. Please contact me directly at 905-372-2211 or at dbolger@realtyexecutivespentel.com and let us bring you home.
Realty Executives Pentel Limited is independently owned and operated.
A wide variety of music and unique programs covering many areas of interest. That's a Northumberland 89.7 difference. Check out our complete program schedule anytime at northumberland89.7.ca.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. The guest in the studio is David Piccini, your newly elected member of provincial parliament for Northumberland, Peterborough South. Brand new riding, brand new member of provincial parliament. Now, I got to ask you this. I didn't want to bring it up. That's why I mentioned it to you during the break. One of the things that was going around during the campaign, and one of the things I know really upset a number of people, especially some of the ladies in the riding, and this isn't just a female issue, but this notion that you are one of a cadre of conservatives in the province who were elected who want to reopen this debate around choice and around access to abortion in this province. What is your response to that?
Well, I think I can rest assured to everybody out there that this was not something I was consulted on before it came out. I didn't fill out any questionnaire. I did nothing of the sort. But I've been clear, and I've been clear. I don't give them the answer they want on Facebook. They want me to be saying, yes, I will open. I'm not going to open any abortion debate. We're not going to re-legislate things that already have been legislated. And what people want to know is they want to know, David, will you be introducing legislation that would threat a woman's right to choose? And the answer is categorically no. So I like to put that to rest. People spread that because when you're out of ideas and you can't talk policy anymore, you start going after people personally. Mm-hmm. Now, Press Progress, I've got to say, I think it's a rag. And I can't support the stuff that comes out of there. And, it was an attack on me, and I was clear with people in my response, but the real issues here that people wanted to talk about at the doors are, our hydro, our deficit, whether they're going to get support in healthcare, long-term care beds, and this was something that was brought up again. You can't help what's brought up on you online, mm-hmm. and there's all sorts of other things that were said online as well. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come online and clarify that.
I want you to rest assured here, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have my opinion, and there are people out there who don't agree with my opinion, and that's their right. But here's my thing, listeners, and I want everyone to hear this because I'm saying it. I'll probably have to say it again over the next few years. But I want to give you the opportunity right now, and I'm going to tell you right now that the door is open. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that I feel as though was a disservice to our government the last time around was there was a lot of stuff being made up. There was a lot of stuff that stuck because you say something often enough, eventually people start to believe it, right? And so part of the problem, I think, with government tends to be that people come up with a narrative and they drive that narrative till the cows come home. This is about feelings versus facts, and I like to focus on facts. And so I'm telling you right now, David, that when, that narrative starts to rear its ugly head, when people start making stuff up as they go along, when they start trying to drive the narrative with feelings and emotion rather than fact, then I want to tell you right now that you have the opportunity at any time to come into the studio to sit down with me and say, look, there's things going around out there right now that are lies. And I mean, you can't say they're lies because, you know, you're the elected representative. But I'm more than happy to sit and tell people that they're lying.
If
you're going to come in here and lie to me, I am more than prepared to call you out on it.
I appreciate that because we were in Brighton knocking on doors and we were told, I'm not going to name the party, but that you missed the Brighton debate. And I showed them on my phone. I was at the Brighton debate last night. We were told that, you know, I heard all sorts of stuff. Do you live here? Where do you live? You live in Toronto? You live up north?
Mm-hmm. Someone said you lived in Ottawa.
It's awful. I've got my driver's license right here. You can follow me home. I give my personal address out to people in Port Hope. My truck's parked out there every night, and you know we deckled our truck too. Lou did his.
Yeah.
A lot of candidates do it, so mine's been deckled for 3 months. And if you have any question, just hang outside my house. You'll see me get up every morning. Might not look as good as I do now, but I get out and go out for a walk with Max. So
you'll catch him and Max getting the newspaper in the morning.
Yes.
So again, listeners, look, you know, I know there are people out there that don't think I give people a fair chance, but one of the things I pride myself on is being what I like to call, and I thank my friend Al Hoffman for this, I like to be disgustingly reasonable. You may not agree with what I have to say, and look, I don't have the answers, okay? I'm not here to give you the answers. I am here, though, to provoke thought, and that's what I want people to remember. You know, politics is not something that happens every 4 years. It's something that happens every single day, and if you pay attention, then you don't get led down the garden path. And you don't get sucked into crazy narratives, and you don't get sucked into lies and rhetoric. If you're focused on the prize, and the prize is best public policy possible, and I know from speaking to you, I mean, both of us are Bill Davis babies, right? Mm-hmm. We grew up in progressive Ontario. Yep. That's the reality. Now, I know that we didn't get the People's Guarantee from Doug Ford. What can you comprehensively say we did get from Doug Ford, though?
Well, I think a lot of those aspects, Dave, and I know we spoke about the People's Guarantee, and I was active in crafting that. There's a lot of good policy measures that we consulted our grassroots on, and without not just our membership, but grassroots around our community. And that included a commitment to mental health, it was the same in both, a commitment to affordable child care, again, that carried over. So some of our hallmark planks, the Trust, Accountability, Integrity Act, the commitment to child care, the commitment to mental health, all of these things are commitments we made and were in our platform. And so for all those, they can head online, ontariopc.ca, for the full platform. And we'll be meeting next week to discuss that, to determine our priorities. And then would love to be back on to go over some of the big priorities and really start to unpack the items that we're bringing forward. Of course, affordable hydro, the 75% deduction on child care, and our commitment into mental health and affordable housing.
It's a big plate. It's a big, there's a lot of things to unpack, listeners, and he's got 1,000 or so pages easily to unpack on that one. So I want to thank you for being here, David. Thanks for taking the opportunity, and I know we spoke last week. I wasn't sure whether you're going to be able to, so great that you're here. He'll be back. This is going to be a regular. He's got a seat here at the studio anytime he wants it. Yeah. Here we go. Ontario, a place to stand, a place to grow. I'll be back after the news.
I still can't remember where.